Welcome to the Leadership Labs with DeepRec.ai, a podcast where we delve into the fascinating world of deep tech entrepreneurship, company founders, and venture capitalists. I'm your host, Anthony Kelly, and I'm thrilled to have you join us on this exciting journey. In each episode, we explore the minds behind groundbreaking technologies, the visionaries who dare to push the boundaries of innovation, and the investors who fuel the growth of tomorrow's game changers. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Leadership Labs podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Kelly, and today's guest is Patrick Burkhardt. Patrick is currently the Director of Ventures and Head of Startups at the Campus Founders, and previous to that, he comes from a background of angel investing and entrepreneurship. So we're delighted to have you on today's episode, Patrick. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Anthony. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Be my pleasure. Look, always nice to look behind the curtain a little bit and find out a little bit more behind the person. What has your life been like to lead you on such an entrepreneurial journey, even from early days? Education, like, right, it's lonely, it's tough, it's hard work, and yet you've been doing it again and again, investing into startups and making it all happen. Like, where does it come from?
That's a very good question that sometimes I don't even have the answer for. Maybe, like, if you ask me something like that, I would probably start with another topic, which is, I think I'm a big fan of serendipity, and this probably defines every journey. Like, you don't know what's happening tomorrow. If I can predict the future, then probably I would be like the number one, or building the number one startup in the world doing this, but I cannot. So it's a lot of sideways, a lot of different things that bring you where you are at the moment. And at the moment, I'm here in Heilbronn, as you introduced me, as the head of startups, Director Ventures at Campus Founders. I'm originally from this area here. So we are in Heilbronn, which is between Stuttgart and Heidelberg. Maybe some of you guys know, some don't, but it's getting more important in the startup landscape here in Germany. And I'm originally from Neckarsulm, which is an even smaller city next to Heilbronn. It's kind of like connected. And I left Neckarsulm and Heilbronn 20 years ago to start my own journey by actually doing an apprenticeship here after finishing school in one of the companies that you had here in Heilbronn. And I quickly realized that that's not my end journey here, so I needed to go somewhere. And I was always entrepreneurial. I think I always had a lot of ideas. I always had a lot of, let's say, like a different view on the world that I couldn't find, like being accompanied in the end here in Heilbronn. So I left, right? And I did what many other people did here in this time in the area 20 years ago. They went on to study somewhere. I was lucky, let's say, to have a very good apprenticeship here in Heilbronn at a company called TDS, Teledatenservice, which was one of the first IT companies here in Heilbronn. All the rest here in Heilbronn, we are basically surrounded by, let's say, the heavy old school automotive industry and so on. So it's not a lot of creativity. There were no computers, no technology, nothing. So you needed to search for something. And I found it there, and I was lucky enough to finish my apprenticeship. And then I moved on to study media informatics in Furtwangen, which is a small town in the Black Forest. But they did something like in 2004 that was very exciting. Was the first place to study media informatics. Was very new, so you learned coding and all the stuff. And I was in one of the first batches there, and one of the first semesters actually in that thing.
Nice, really good story. I do have one question though. On that, why move towards innovation? Did you know you were looking to move towards innovation at that young age? I mean, you could have stayed in the general automotive companies, you could have been producing engines and flywheels, and you haven't, and here you are. Was this a calculated decision in your youth, or was it like people telling you about, oh, this is going to be good, this is fun?
I don't know, like that's what I said in the beginning. I think it's I'm super driven by serendipity. It sounds like maybe stupid, but I have the feeling if you knock on a lot of doors, one will open, and then you go through that door, there is another door that you can open. I was always excited and fascinated by the fact that there is technology and technology can support a lot of ideas that we have in our minds, even the ones that we don't know yet. And it was a natural kind of thing for me to dive deeper into technology and tackle some of the things that I have done in the past, right? So I was actually like driven by the idea that there was no limit and technology will support like the path that you are on and support like every idea that you have to bring it on the street. And that's why I decided actually to do media informatics. I decided after that to continue to go on. I had my first job after that in Munich at the Media Innovation Lab, Hubert Burda Media, where I was like, let's say, confronted with the big world out there for the first time. I moved back to Stuttgart to make a master in media management and experience design. So I was always like close on the edge between something that I would say was technology, was business, and was entrepreneurship as well. Like in this field of tension, let's say it's where I feel very comfortable and was always driving me to continue doing this path.
Right, right. And then next question, you know, going one step further. Innovation at an early stage, not the decision most people make 20 years ago, right? That's agreed on. But then even less people then decide to go in and become a business founder, make something, particularly in a time when making stuff in a web business, in a tech business, wasn't a thing, right?
Yeah.
What was the, what was that road like?
Yeah, well, it's not that long ago, to be honest. Like I'm 39 years old. So it was like I started my first company 12 years ago. And actually, I started it out of a very stupid idea that I had during my master's. It's like I said, like I'm always in this tension field between like you have a great idea, technology, and you have some friends and you get like a box of beer, you sit down and you start coding stuff. And we did that and we created an application called Sidefenster, which was an app for time traveling. We said like, hey, let's take some historical images. Let's take a mobile application. Let's take your phone and allow people to jump into historical images on the location where they were taking many, many years ago through augmented reality. And we were just sitting there and doing that without thinking about if that might be a startup or a business. It was really like driven by the idea that we want to do that. And then like one thing led to the other. Again, serendipity. I think somebody found us in Stuttgart. They said, hey, it's cool. I want to make an article about that in our newspaper. Then we got invited to the first pitch event. We pitched in Stuttgart. Somebody else came and said, hey, that's a very great idea. Why don't you do it for our city? So we made a white label for the city of Nürtingen from this application where we made our first money with. Then we realized, wow, people want to buy that product. Why don't we do build more of that for other cities? Then somebody else came to us and invited us to pitch in Berlin for an award called Kultur und Kreativlohn, like the most creative business idea. It was in 2013. That's what brought me then in the end to Berlin. And we were building and selling this product and then also coming to a point where we realized, oh, it's not that easy. But we never said like, wow, it's like, I want to do a startup. We just we wanted to build a product and then it became a startup.
Building a startup without knowing you're building a startup.
Exactly. This is what it is. Like you continue doing it. You are so into that when you love what you're doing. So you don't think about how to make money in that in first step. But this is what brought me then, for example, to Berlin, right? And then we were sitting there, three people, like continuing doing it, and we realized, wow, it's not that easy to sell that product on the market. Was like more like an agency, like a project business, not really scalable. And this is where we learned for the first time that, wow, there are some things that you need to learn, either the soft or the hard way. Somebody needs to tell you what to do as a next step. If not, probably you there's a potential that you fail. And we failed with that idea. But it was a big learning. But also like this failure with that idea brought me to another thing, which is I wanted to go back to academia and started a PhD at the Technical University in Berlin. But with that startup idea in my mind, with that product idea, which was closely related to experience design and the idea that we can, through emotionalizing UX and user experience in mobile applications, that we can increase worthwhile experiences, learning, history, and this kind of stuff. And that was like my PhD topic. And we started again, like doing things, and like I started doing my PhD. And after 1.5 years, I had another startup idea out of this PhD with the same people that actually created with me the first startup idea. And we were sitting together and we did exactly the same. So we met, we had a couple of beers, and we started coding an app called Pop-Up Berlin, which then became actually my very successful startup Go Pop-Up that I sold in 2018. But this was also like born just driven by the idea that we can solve something with it. And it was the thought that we can take empty spaces in Berlin, like empty storefronts and stuff, and just give it to the poor, kind of like Robin Hood. So we take it from the rich real estate industry and we give it to the poor little artists so they can make galleries there for free and stuff. And it ended up to be a very successful commercial concept for real estate. So we were working with, I don't know, like 35,000 brands in the end until 2018 when I sold the companies. We had like 9,500 spaces in 9 countries. And it all started with this one stupid idea in the end. But here's like, there was one thing differently. Probably again, coming back, serendipity. You need to look around. When there was a door, you should knock and maybe the door opens. And in that case, I was still doing my PhD. We had this idea. We started working on it as a side project, exactly with the same team that we failed 2 years ago, starting a business or making a business out of Zeitfenster. And I remember I received a call because we were getting traction like very organically, again, not thinking about building a company. It was more like, hey, it's fun. Let's print some stickers. Let's throw them everywhere in Berlin on the walls. And people will contact us. And then there was a friend coming, a very good friend, who was running an entrepreneurial consultancy in that time called The Thinkery in Berlin. It was a good friend in my friend circle there. And he said, hey, very interesting what you are working on. So what's the plan with that? And we said, wow, we don't know. It's just like, it's fun. It's cool. And he said, hey, maybe from a business perspective, it makes sense if you start renting or listing those spaces and not just taking care about the pop-up stores, like the pop-up events, like galleries and stuff. Maybe you can bring the demand and the supply together. I was like, oh yeah, of course we can do that. And we built like, again, in a very short like night, we were creating a WordPress site. We were connecting it to an iOS database. And we had our first 10 listings within 10 days, I think. And we were generating demand for that. And then it was quite clear, wow, okay, there was something that we unlocked that we have in our hands, but maybe not making the same mistake that we did in the beginning. Maybe we should talk more with some people who have done shit before, just to summarize it.
Do you know what? I was literally going to just ask, is that the difference? The difference is that you've had someone, and to him, the guy that you know or the friend who said, bring the demand and the supply together. To him, that just was like the simplest idea, right? But you, it was tech. You and your friends, it was tech. It was fun. You weren't thinking about ROI, which is different. So you had an external person come in and immediately be able to give you value.
Exactly. That is what happened. Exactly. That is what happened. And I 100% like now I can say, right, looking backwards, or what Steve Jobs, I think, said that once, right? That probably every entrepreneur has heard so far. It's like, you can only connect the dots looking backwards, but it's 100% like that. Without that guy, I would have never thought about that this can be a business. And without that guy, we would probably not investigate it into that. He said like, hey, try to bring demand and supply together. So obviously you have supply, create the demand, or the other way around, whatever, but do 10 matches between a space and a potential tenant for the space. And we did that. He was like guiding us to saying like, look at that. That's important. Nothing else counts. And we were focusing on that, and we overachieved that after 10 days. And this is a key indicator where you gain interest from other people, right? They have something that is worth looking into it. And I think from that on, like, things changed completely. Like, this guy was coming in. He was like guiding us, mentoring us a little bit. And then also he made a connection to an accelerator program in Berlin in that time from Immobilien Scout, US Now. It doesn't exist yet, but it's very similar to what we are doing here at Campus Founders. It's an accelerator program over 3 months. And you get a stipend, you get a 25K without equity, without giving up equity. no strings attached, and you get access to mentors and stuff. And you really get like the time to, as a team, to focus, to work on that project, like really to see if it works or not. And I opted out in my PhD because I thought like that's worth to investigate because that can be a serious business. So I stopped my PhD. We were like going there to this accelerator program and we started working on the project. And it turned out so well that after, I think, less than 2.5 months, we had like 100 spaces listed on that marketplace. We had a huge demand and we got people who know the industry quite well, who know how to generate traction for your marketplace, who know how to make pricing, who know how to modulate your business, what a user lock-in journey is after, and so on. Like all these little details, they are very important. These are things that you don't know. You simply don't know. But you need to be open to perceive that. And when you are open to perceive things, magical things happen. And that's closing the loop back to serendipity, right?
Nice. And I do like that. It's one thing I speak about on this podcast a lot is the mentorship aspect, and it's mentorship of industry, mentorship of technology, sales and marketing is probably, let's be honest, they're the four that dominate in a tech business. It's just the way it is. If you can master those four pillars early, you're probably going to have a successful career as a founding team. Mentors, super important. What actually just went well without planning? Like, did that happen? Accidental success? Besides just getting, you know, two friends and beers and, yeah, this is a problem, let's fix this.
Yeah. Well, it's in the end, it's commitment. Like, you need to, I think a lot of us, we are embedded in whatever, friendships, relationships, jobs, or whatever holds us back to express who we are really are, where we want to go, the ideas that we have in our head and so on. It was the same with me. I was in the PhD. I had like another 2.5 years to go and I would have been a doctor in Berlin, probably teaching other people how to write code or something, right? Or how to create worthwhile digital experiences. But I committed to get out of that, to investigate if there was another path for me or not. And I think this commitment is very important. And of course, there is guidance that you need along the way, but you need to be committed to that idea that you are somewhere in. Like, it's the same here with Campus Founders. It's a very good example. AI Founders, that's our accelerator here. It's the same thing. Like, we receive applications from all over the world. It's a big commitment. We do something very special here, which is also we give the people a co-living, right? I didn't have that. I was in Berlin. Probably in Berlin, it's like you sleep in front of your office anyways. Nobody cares. But here, probably it's a little bit different. Heilbronn is not that well known, but we give them the opportunity to move in together, to work together in a very close, let's say, like limited, time-limited, like, spectrum where they can do things. And this is, they need to make a commitment. You need to make a commitment and say, like, I really want to go the path here on the journey. Like, I really want to take this journey. And that's very important because once you committed to your idea that you are on this path, you are walking. And some people don't realize that. And that's a big thing. And this often comes through mentors, through, let's say, also like a bigger decision, probably your family, your friends, maybe have an influence on that. But you need to be open to say, like, I really want to try this now. I want to be on that path. I start walking today. And then you will walk. But you don't know where in the end.
I have a question for you. And I brought this topic up on me being on somebody else's podcast as a business founder now, early stages. I'm now at the beginning of month three. I've worked my ass off in the first 3 months and we're a profitable business as of 3 weeks and 3 weeks running.
Awesome.
Don't hear that a lot. So I'm super proud of it. And somebody asked me, how did you do it? I was like, I hustled. Sounds super simple, right? But there's a current conception now in the world that if you have these AI skills, you build an AI product, you don't have to work hard to make it a success. And I believe that's been diluting now. And there's a reason why USA and China can win, right? And it's because they work hard. I'm not saying that they don't overwork themselves. I know there's a balance, but if it's something that you're super passionate about, like for me, I don't care if I work 14 hours a day, 16 hours a day, because I know what my goal is on my, of course I don't do it every day, but hustle culture gets a bad rep modern day, and it shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to define what hustle culture means, okay?
Bad work-life balance, let's say.
Work-life balance. Well, I have a five-year-old daughter. I'm married, and I still get my things done, kind of. I think it's a mindset, right? But there was one thing that I agree on, another thing that I don't. So there is a hustle culture. It's per definition, something that I know from like the old school days of entrepreneurship. Work hard, play hard, right? That's bullshit. I'm very sorry.
There's no play hard. It doesn't exactly. Work. You don't show up.
Exactly. Nothing is changing on the fact that you have to work hard. It's very easy. Like, you can work smart, of course, but working smart doesn't mean that you have less hours that you work on your startup or something. You have to do the work. Somebody has to do the work. And as you are, as a founder, the vision carrier, I always call them the vision carriers, right? You have to align your team. You have to bring the right people together. So many things you have to do. But you also should do this in a conscious way. Like, you should be aware of yourself, what are your needs and stuff, and just like pull the trigger if it's too much, right? And if you're running against a burnout, because then that's kind of like happening fast, right? And nowadays anyways. So work smart is the thing. But I'm 100% convinced, like, not just based on my history, and like, I've worked with many founders in the last years. What I see is that you need to be committed means if you put 100% of your time into it, you get 100% out of it. If you put 50% of time into something, you get 50% out of it. And this will never change. And of course, there was, let's say, if you have family and stuff, you will find a way how to do that. But the work needs to be done. And the smarter it's being done, the better. And of course, there are tons of tools who can support that. But also sometimes teams and startups in early stages, pre-revenue, pre-seed, what we are dealing here with, they come already with over-engineered processes and stuff, right? And sometimes it's not needed. It's very important in entrepreneurship to understand that there's a lot of examples out there, a lot of benchmarks. People look at each other and say like, hey, this is the way how a pitch deck has to look like. This is the way our process has to look like. This is the way how a B2B sales funnel has to look like. And probably they are all right, but in the end, it's your journey and you should decide what's good for your startup to arrive there. And you need to be open to perceive, let's say, advice from others, or not advice, or let's say guidance. That's what a good mentor does. He's guiding you. He's opening doors to ideas, to resources and stuff, but he's not telling you what you have to do. And as long as you are on your path and you know what you're doing and you're confident with that, you are not in the danger zone, I would say here.
Yeah. Love that. Love that. So, yeah, I mean, look, perfect segue in. We've talked about success. We've talked about failure. We've talked about mentorship. Let's talk about the Campus Founders. How does it work with you right now, first off? Head of Ventures. What? Director of Ventures, sorry, Head of Startups. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's very exciting. So maybe just one quick step back, because I joined in October, so I'm not that long here. But I came straight from Barcelona. So I was, after my exit in 2018, working with my own like entrepreneurial consultancy. It's called OGNC, Organic. I was working with multiple startups. I did multiple business angel investments. I was getting into venture building. So I did that for the first time, let's say, not working on my own startup, right? And which is it's very exciting. Like, when you work with founders and you can really tell them, I'm a big fan of like the it's a principle nearly in my head. It's kind of like I've done things before, right? And as soon as I've like done things before, I know that I've done things before, I can give it to somebody else. And that's what I did over the last years. Then I came across Campus Founders last year. I had them on the scope because I am here from the region. I connected with our CEO, Oliver Harnisch. I connected with some other people here. And we just like mingled, let's say, right? I joined, I was coming here to have a coffee and conversations, and it was quite clear that I can add value here with what I've done in the past, right? And Campus Founders itself, it's very young. We are 4 years old here. So it's also like a startup for startups, if you want to name it like that. And we are like constantly learning about ourselves and about what we can offer here for startups and stuff. So what we do here in the end, we are like a center for entrepreneurship. Let's say it like that, but embedded in a like old school environment of corporate companies and so on. But we are doing things, I would say, very creative and very nicely when it comes to startup programs and startup festivals, for example, and stuff. So we are running an accelerator program called AI Founders. I'm running here a venture studio, which is also very cool. That's like the closest to what I've done before, like in the last years. We can do investments with that venture studio, and we can give startups like mentoring and guidance over a period more than 2 years. So it's not just like end to end or a batch or cohort, like it goes on. It's like building a relationship. So we have this, that physical space here. Startups can come, they can become a member, they can join one of the programs. We also run programs for talents, which is like earlier stages, like people, students with ideas. Basically, I always call this from idea to product stage. We have programs like talent scholarship program. Soon we launch a new AI program. It's called AI Start. That's also like for the very like ideation stage founders, kind of to validate their ideas, to start working on the MVPs and stuff with guidance and mentors here. So there's a lot of things happening. And of course, the flagship is AI Founders here, which is the accelerator happening now for the third time. I think the guys, they just moved in on Monday. Yesterday was a holiday here. So today we had an introduction here. Everybody was introducing themselves and pitching quick. It's exciting to see all this like great, awesome companies now here. And that's what we are doing here. We want to create the value. We want to like help them on their journey, like accelerate their journey in the end. That's what an accelerator is there for, and connect them with investment possibilities, make them investor ready at the end of the program. We want to connect them with the corporate partner network that we have here in order to help them getting POCs and so on. So it's a family here in the end, right? And they all live together, which is quite nice. And yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, no, I've been there. Very impressive, you know, met the guys, met Tristan. Fun, really cool place. Like, love the idea of co-living, right? I guess this is building a startup is lonely. Why not do it with nine other companies that are as lonely as you? Maybe even struggling for a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of coffee talk, that water cooler chat. Someone who has a different set of eyes. And but again, you also have the mentors for that then as well, right? Which is great. Yous have been doing a great job in attracting people from all over the world, companies, the programs. But you talked about a couple of the different programs that yous offer. And even when I'm in Berlin, I talk to founders who might be quite early stage, and I'm telling them, have you heard of the Campus Founders in Heilbronn? You should check them out. And then when I say, oh, it's co-living. So people that are really passionate about building a company but might rent an apartment long-term in Berlin are like, do you know what? We could still do that. I could maybe, you know, sublet my apartment and still go and focus on my business, which definitely helps.
That's and that's an important thing. Like, you always have to look at the context where you are embedded, right? If you run a program, you're probably in Berlin. When you run a program, you're one of many. Here in this area, there are not that many, right? First of all, and I think that still you can shape everything here. Even as a startup coming here to the city of Heilbronn, you can start or like help us shaping the whole ecosystem here, because what we are building here is an ecosystem. So we are not alone here in this ecosystem. There were other players as well, like EPI Innovation Park, artificial intelligence, which is one of the biggest clusters, I think, in Europe, or will be one of them. It's like step by step building this up here. And there are many, many other things that we call ecosystem here in Heilbronn. And we are taking care about the startups as simple as it is, right? But everything is very, let's say, community led or like founders led. So when you come here to Heilbronn, you will see it's still small, but it's growing. It's vibrant. It's like something that you probably don't find in other communities yet, because they are too big or too, let's say, too complex already to understand where you have to go. The ways here are short, and that's like a really, really big benefit for the startups, but everyone in this ecosystem here.
Yeah. And then obviously you have also done some great stuff. And I know you've been attracting some really big names in AI down to Heilbronn. You've also now gone and attracted some great events. Second year having Slush D in Heilbronn. I'm excited to go. I'll get to meet you there in person. Back to Heilbronn. How important has that been, do you think, for, let's say, getting Heilbronn on the map, right? Because a lot of people say Berlin is where innovation happens and Berlin is the startup scene, which, look, it might well be. But yeah. If we talk about AI innovation and what else is going on, I see you guys in the headlines and in the press just as much.
Yeah, yeah. We are also surprised sometimes, right, how far like we have come in the last years with building this ecosystem here. But I think it's quite simple, right, in the end. Like, there was a value that we can create, that we can communicate. I think the relevance of AI, there was no doubt. Like, there was a lot of things going on in every city, in every country. It's all about building those communities, bringing the right people together. And as soon as the people see the value behind what we are doing here, then we come also, let's assume that we are that startup, right, that I was talking about. Then we are getting over into a product-led mode here, which, like, the value that we can create through the programs and everything that we can offer here speaks for itself. And I think that this is what's happening. The guys did an amazing job for AI Founders, for the first batch, for the second batch. I think it's a huge recognition for us to be perceived outside even the German ecosystem for what we are doing here. We also, I think it was 3 months ago, we are now part of Startup BW here in the state of Baden-Württemberg, which is a great recognition, which means that we can offer access to public funds as well here for us in the future. Being part of that community, I think there are more and more things happening that are based on the fact that we are doing a very good job here. So, again, like, thanks to my team. Without them, nothing would be possible here. It's crazy, but they are really working their asses off, but in a smart way, right? To make a great place for founders here in Heilbronn, and we are all on that journey. We are all aligned of the journey. The feedback that we get from others is confirming what we have in our minds here.
Nice. Of course, everyone who's part of the Campus Founders ecosystem has the access to events like Slush D. My first time going, what do I expect?
Very cool things. I'm just like, before, like, recording, or now with you here being in the podcast, it's actually funny because we hit our target of having more than 100 applicants for the pitches, like high quality pitches. There will be 50 pitches in 5 different categories from startups. One is called Rise Europe, which is embedded in a we are one of the founding members of Rise Europe. It's an ecosystem network that was started in Munich through Unternehmertum. We are part of that. It goes in 14 different countries. So we have a category just for those startups in a European context that are a little bit later stage. We have a community award, which is a public award. We have nearly 2,000 members here in the community already. So startups will pitch in that category. Doesn't matter in what stage they are. Like, we really want to give those people stage time because they really deserve it. And it's a public vote. We have one specialized just for AI startups, which is called One Step Ahead. It's a cash prize, 10,000 euros that you can get there. That's for every AI startup that is a little bit later in the journey, like not in the super ideation or go-to-market stage. Maybe they have a little bit of traction already and they are raising money already, probably even bigger rounds towards seed and stuff. So we have that category filled with very amazing startups pitching there. Then we have another one for the venture studio that I mentioned, which is a 100,000 euro convertible note that we can give out for startups that are looking for pre-seed or that are in the pre-revenue stage. Let's say it like that. And there was another one, because there was another topic that is very important here in the region. It's called LearnTech. There was a LearnTech Champion Award, which is also very nice for startups that are in the later stage of like new work and new education in that field. And these are just the startup pitches. So 50 startups will pitch. We have like hundreds of startups attending. We have startup booths and tables. We have a lot of investors coming in. We have a lot of corporate partners coming in, also exhibiting here. And we have an amazing, amazing, like, kudos to the team who is organizing the program, an amazing lineup of people. Jack.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked that I've managed to blag a ticket.
No. It's crazy. I think last year was already nice, but we made it happen to have Scott Jakin, co-founder of GitHub, coming here, giving a keynote, right? We have people like Carsten Maschmeyer, who's probably one of the most famous, let's say, tycoons, investors in Germany, part of Höhle der Löwen, coming. We have Miriam Wohlfahrt, very big names here from NVIDIA too, and so on. Like, it's, you have to check it out on the website, but I think that we are also like very surprised how amazing we set up this program and how many people actually commit to come here and give a keynote and take a panel. It's crazy.
Well, look, that's it. You guys are building out this incredible ecosystem. As you've mentioned, you know, 2,000 people in the community, but you also have some corporates in there you've mentioned, but you've mentioned IPI, so the Innovation Park of Artificial Intelligence. Am I right in saying that is like the biggest AI campus? Is it in the world or in Europe? Or it's going to be, sorry.
Well, it's going to be, of course, the biggest in the world. No. I think that it's, again, it's part of something and it's meant to be big, but it will also live from the partners and institutions and companies that will be part of it. But it's meant to be big. Like, it's a lot of things happening. There will be like different levels on how this thing will be launched, right? It's a physical open reality lab, we call this, or like they call themselves. But it lives for the partners and it's meant to be very big, of course, and have a high relevance in the European and also in the global context of AI research and applied AI. And I think when I talk about value, that's probably the value that I can see here and other people can see who have been here already. For other people, you still need to push or explain this a little bit better, let's say, because it's like it's too good to be true somehow, but it's happening here. And that's the reality. And I think that people need to see that reality and the benefits they will have here coming to iPod
as well. And you have also brought Technical University of Munich as well down to Heilbronn. That's like the AI course, AI entrepreneurship or innovation course, is it as well?
I think that's one of them. Like, I'm not like super connected with all the TUM activities here in detail, but yeah, there's the TUM, there's the Hochschule Heilbronn, there is the DHBW, Duale Hochschule Baden-Württemberg here. There's a lot of institutions here on the so-called Bildungscampus. And as maybe it's important to understand, or maybe also important to explain, Campus founders, all the parts here of the ecosystem, we have a platform thinking. So we want to be a platform where community will happen and can happen, where facilitation will happen, where serendipity will happen, and so on, right? Where all the things come together to create something bigger that we don't even know what it will be in the future. Like, I don't know, as I said in the beginning, I cannot predict the future. And if I would say so, then I would be a big liar, right? But you can shape it, that's for sure. You can take part in shaping it and shaping this paths and stuff. And that's why we see ourselves, the campus founders and other players here, definitely as a platform. And platform means it's open to everyone. So whoever wants to come here, you're invited to come.
Nice, nice. I guess, look, one thing again that I want to close it off on, like a final topic for us here. We've kind of come across it, but you've kind of, this has happened to you almost out of luck as opposed to by design. The importance of getting yourself out there, right? Moving out of your comfort zone, giving yourself that opportunity. You were lucky you knew someone who had a great business mind about the retail renting space, and you got this right. But if we talk about getting out of your comfort zone, like, what's the importance of it? How can people do it?
Well, as I said, just like overcome your fear or whatever. I think that people always probably they are loaded with expectations towards others, right? What, I don't know. Of course, I was nervous recording a podcast with you. I don't know why, but it's probably natural. Now we have a conversation. I want to have a beer with you later, kind of, right? And start a startup maybe. right? This is the thing that people need to see. Like, nobody is in you and nobody understands what's in you. So overcome this and just like start a conversation. I think every good relationship starts with a conversation. And this is what you need to do to get out of your comfort zone is like jump over it and just start those conversations. And events like the Slush here, that's like the event to do that. Why? Because it's like all these people that think the same way. Again, You cannot predict the future, right? The outcome. It would be too crazy to predict that. Probably you can do this to 99% in a rational system, right? But there's always this 1% of coincidence, and let that coincidence go into your life and take it, embrace it, and see what's going on, and always keep that in your mind to this will happen when you leave your comfort zone.
Nice. I like that. I would say it's my example of some things being within my comfort zone is when I think I have a crazy idea, I ask well-respected people in my market. Some people have come back and told me some crazy ideas, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to try and add that to my product offering or what we do. Initially feeling like this is not going to work, and then ultimately working on it, getting your messaging right. Like for me, I'm good at talking to people. I'm not good at getting that messaging right. so then I get someone else to help me do that. But the initial just being like, yeah, do you know what? Can you help me out here? I'm drawing a blank. It's one of the greatest skills you can probably do. For those who want the little extra trick, could be worth doing it, and the industry experts being people that might be your future business's customers.
Exactly. What I always like regarding this, there's maybe a life hack for this that I always use, because even when you are nervous and stuff, you always have to think that you know more than they do, which is true. It's like, even like as I said, I have a 5-year-old daughter. She doesn't have any filter, right? She asks me whatever she wants to ask me without thinking like if there would be a consequence or whatever, or how I react. She's just doing it.
Daddy, and can also, I smoke?
The answer would be probably no. Very likely.
But they say, I know what you mean, right? You see them. They see someone smoking. Oh, can I have one of those? That's what they do.
That's what they do, exactly. But then somebody should tell them that it's very stupid to smoke a cigarette. But that's another story. But I think that it's very unfiltered, right? A kid is very like direct and unfiltered, which is cool. And that's a skill you should always keep to yourself. Don't be afraid. Like, there's nothing to lose. And you normally, especially as a founder, especially in a startup, you are building something. That's your thing here. Nobody knows what you are building, kind of, as long as you don't tell them, right? And nobody knows what you know. Like, you are probably solving something that is so big for somebody else that you don't even understand it. So obviously, there's always like two sides, and the only way to find out is to have a conversation and just stupidly ask. Like, if you don't know, ask and be honest. And big fan of being radical honest here with this kind of things, right? It's radical candor, I always say. Like, that's important. Like, be transparent, be honest to yourself, and understand that you probably know more than others do, and people don't know much or probably also don't know more than you do. So be kind and just connect and ask and have a conversation. And out of this conversation, you take it.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's us for time, Patrick. It's been an absolute pleasure. Really enjoyed this podcast. And look, everyone in here, follow Patrick on LinkedIn. His inbox is open, as you can guess. This is what he does. But it's been a pleasure, please. Patrick.
Thank you so much, Anthony. It was great talking to you, and see you here in Heilbronn, right?
See you in 2 weeks.
All right.
That concludes another enlightening episode of the Leadership Labs podcast. If you found today's episode thought-provoking and informative, be sure to subscribe to the Leadership Labs on your preferred podcast platform or on YouTube. Thank you once again for joining us on this journey through the Leadership Labs. Until next time.